This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History at the University of Arkansas is cataloging the state's past. Their collection of archives grew when KATV Television in Little Rock donated more than 26,000 videotapes of news and sports coverage. Randy Dixon, the director of the Pryor Center, combs through those tapes every month to give us a glimpse into Arkansas's history. This month, he talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about the many giant political figures to come out of Arkansas, including the first Republican to become governor of the state since Reconstruction, Winthrop Rockefeller.
The Rockefeller name brought so much weight, and, you know, plus and minus.
Right.
You know, he came to Arkansas in the early 50s and started Winrock Enterprises, Winrock Farms, on Pettigene, and it was Faubus who named him the chairman of the AIDC in mid-50s,
mm-hmm.
and then Rockefeller ran against him in 64 and lost.
Right.
And then Faubus decided not to run. But this is a little clip from 69 in his second inauguration, and he's making a lot of reference to the Rockefeller name.
I am sometimes angered to read or to hear it said that Rockefeller may get what he wants. Or Rockefeller may get 50% of what he wants. What I'm proposing is not frivolous. It is not a question of what one man wants. I am your governor. Leadership is what you want.
His was an interesting 4 years as governor.
Yes.
As he went out, he commuted all death sentences in Arkansas.
That's right.
You know, on his last day.
Another big name, Mills, Wilbur Mills.
Yes.
He had such, varied career. He was the most powerful man in Congress.
He was chair
for
of
a
Ways
long
and
time.
Means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he was known as the most powerful man in Washington. He was in the House for 38 years. And he was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee from 58 to 74, and he resigned from that position because of the Fannie Fox scandal.
In the Tidal Basin, yeah.
Exactly. But this clip is with Mills, and because he did control the money, there was the McClellan Kerr Lock and Dam mm-hmm. project, which cost an incredible amount of money. This reporter was talking to Mills about the project and why it was important to spend the money for it.
As chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee and sort of in charge of our purse strings, how do you justify this $1.2 billion expenditure?
This type of a program cannot be done by a private enterprise. It must be done by government. And the only way government can do it, of course, is to use the tax revenues that are taken from individuals to carry it out. Now, we don't do these kind of projects until we are assured by what I think is the greatest body of engineers we have anywhere in the world, the Corps of Engineers, that in return for a given amount of cost, we receive back not only that in benefit, but additional dollars in benefit.
You know, the next guy that we're looking at, Fulbright.
Right.
You know, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, longer than anyone else in history. He just an amazing man. You know, started the Fulbright program, which were educational
continues
grants.
Today.
Continues today. One of the things that he was most outspoken about was the Vietnam War.
It's such a drain on the country that it leaves little left. I would hope he would make some greater progress towards settling the war. He still talks very well. I mean, he hasn't reversed himself in this regard. Says he wishes to. I would hope that he would do something or move. It would give us some feeling that there is a movement towards settling of the war, and then we could move on to doing a lot of other things which he says he's for and I'm for. Now, I don't complain too much other than the delay in it. We're losing between 200 and 300 young men a week dead, 1,000 or 2,000 wounded, spending all our money, and for what? What's the purpose of it? It seems to be an intolerable situation. Nobody expects him to escalate the war. So there, you have a feeling that this is going on just for utterly no purpose.
Now there, I think he's talking about President Nixon.
Yes,
right?
He
that
is.
Was May 1969.
Yeah, but that,
earlier,
that was
he had,
Nixon.
Yeah, he had clashed with President Johnson over
right.
Vietnam as well. Talk about someone who served in Washington a long time.
From this neck of the woods.
Yes, John Paul Hammerschmidt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He was he served 13 terms from 67 to 93. And he was the first Republican elected to the House since Reconstruction. This clip is him just talking just sort of in general about how he would get along and how our delegation, no matter what the party, could get along.
I want to assure you that the Arkansas delegation works closely together. We often see eye to eye on issues, more often than not, as a matter of fact. I enjoy daily visits with Wilbur Mills and Took Gathings and David Pryor. They're men for whom I have great respect and genuine affection. And I think that it opens up communications to the other side of the aisle to erase negativism that Arkansas has never really had this opportunity to do before. I think it's a definite advantage.
Okay, we're coming to a part where, because we have just mentioned Mills, McClellan, Fulbright. Those guys were in Washington for generations.
Right.
And then it started to change.
Right. The new guard was coming
right.
in. Enter Dale Bumpers. He had served two terms as governor, was now challenging Fulbright in the primary. And it got so much national attention that ABC News decided to do a debate that aired, aired nationwide.
Wow.
It did get a little, well, let's
okay.
listen to the clip,
okay.
and then I'll throw something.
So this is
that.
The incumbent Senator Fulbright and the challenger, Arkansas Governor Dale Bumpers.
Yes.
Governor Bumpers, Senator Fulbright, we're delighted to have you with us today. I understand this is your first joint television appearance, and probably it will be your last before the campaign ends on Tuesday. Because our time is limited, we thought we would begin by asking each of you to take just a moment or so, let's say a minute, to state your case to the people of Arkansas and the country. We've already had the toss of the coin, and Governor Bumpers, you won, so you start.
Frank, thank you. First of all, I'd like to say that I have felt, and one of the reasons I decided to make this race, that the Congress has become, I think, increasingly insensitive to domestic issues. I think that there has to be a building of a very strong state-federal relationship.
Thank you, Governor. Senator Fulbright?
Well, I very much appreciate your getting us together. I had attempted to have a longer discussion with the governor, but he didn't wish to do that. I, of course, feel that the governor, I noticed, says seniority didn't serve the country well. I'm not running for national office. I'm running for senator from Arkansas.
Got a little cold in there for a moment, didn't
yeah, it?
Yeah,
sure did. yeah, they were not friendly. Now, another powerful Arkansan in Washington, Senate Chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, John McClellan. He was in the Senate from 43 to 77, longest serving senator in Arkansas history. He chose to retire, as several have, and this is a portion of his retirement announcement, and it's I think it's one of the best in this collection, and this was in November of 77.
We are told on divine authority that to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Translated into politics, this all-inclusive pronouncement can only mean that there is a time to aspire, a time to achieve, and a time to retire.
I always think of McClellan and Fulbright kind of as a combo.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of Senator Dale Bumpers, I think of
my boss.
Well, that's right.
David
that's right.
Pryor.
The Pryor Center. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure. He was First elected to 4th District Congress in 1966, served four terms there, and then was governor 75 to 79, and then came into the Senate in 79 after that and served until he decided to retire in 97. But this clip is from the Democratic primary when he was running against Ray Thornton and Jim Guy Tucker.
Wow.
In 78, so this was his first bid for the Senate, and he was driving around in a van around South Arkansas, and Steve Barnes from Channel 7 spent the day with him, and this is an interview they did in the van while they're driving in between campaign stops.
Oh, boy.
Would you like to tell this state trooper to pull this van over into a side street and let you sleep for about 4 hours?
Well, sometimes I'd kind of like to do that, but then when I think about it, I really enjoy this. This is a lot of fun to me. It's an exhilarating sort of an experience, and always after a campaign is over, Steve, after you work up your metabolism, I guess you would say, and your adrenaline pumps for weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden when an election is over, whether you won or lost, there's always a big letdown because you build yourself up to such a peak, and you're getting up early and you're working late, and I don't know, it's an excitement about it. But there are times when, very honestly, I'd like to say, stop this van and let's take off our shoes and get that lucky 13 out of that box and let's put it on the end of that rod and flip it a few times, because I'd love to stop and go fishing every now and then, especially when I pass a beautiful body of water, or when I see a canoe on top of a car, or when I see a bass fisherman about to unload a bass boat. It sure makes me want to be able to stop, but I know I've got several weeks and a lot of days before I'll be able to do that again.
Just love his voice, yes.
Oh. He's a great storyteller too.
Comes, newspapers in his background as well.
Sure, down in Camden.
Yeah. Dale Bumpers, David Pryor, the third person you think of from that generation, though they were a little staggered, is Bill Clinton.
And he learned from everyone that we have listened to so far. He was a student of them, at least by watching, living in Arkansas. He was beaten once in 74.
As we mentioned.
Yes, by John Paul Hammerschmidt. He only lost one other race, and that was in 1980 to Frank White.
When Mr. Clinton was seeking his second term as governor.
That's right. Frank White hammered him on Cubans and car tags.
Car tags.
The Cuban refugees were in Fort Chaffee.
And had rioted.
Right. Clinton had promised not to raise taxes on car tags, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what pretty much lost him the election. So this is his concession speech. If you'll remember that night, election night, ABC News, before the polls closed, went on the air and projected Clinton as the winner.
Oh.
I was actually assigned to be at White's headquarters that night. I think my boss sent me there. I was young.
You were not supposed to be at the winner's place.
Exactly. I was the rookie, and he wanted me. I was just going to go to the loser's headquarters. But it turned out to be a huge, huge night for the White campaign. It went so late that Clinton did not even concede that night. He waited until the next day. And the next morning, he and Hillary and baby Chelsea came out into the garden at the governor's mansion and made the concession speech.
I want you to know today that I consider myself to be among the most fortunate people in this country. I grew up in an ordinary working family in this state, was able to go through the public schools and become attorney general and governor, and serve people in the way that I had always wanted to since I was a boy. I regret that I will not have two more years to serve as governor, because I have loved it. I have probably loved it as much as any person who ever had this office.
He was defeated by Frank White. Frank was a banking fellow, was head of the AIDC under Pryor. So he brought a lot of finance, money, to the table as far as his campaign. And That helped him get elected. But what we have here is after he took office, this is his inaugural speech in January of 81.
I take this position today, awed by its power and responsibility. My election endorsed a new type of leadership for Arkansas. The challenge of the 80s is very clear. The era of unchecked government fiscal expansion is over. Government is not, never was, and cannot be all things to all people. Working with the Legislative Council this past month, we submit to you an austere, no-frills, no-nonsense budget. We cannot outspend inflation in Arkansas.
So what about next time?
Next time, let's lighten it up a little bit and do some entertainment.
Okay.
Music, actors, entertainment, that's just kind of some fun stuff. And I think that might work. We've got the Roots Festival coming up.
In August, right.
You know, we have a lot of Arkansas musicians. I did find a great performance of Jimmy Driftwood.
Speaking of Roots.
Right.
Yeah.
At the 1968 Mountain View Ozark Folk Festival, performing his Grammy-winning song, The Battle of New Orleans, that we can do a little bit with Jimmy Driftwood and talk about him and his influence on music and the state, if you want to, in the next show.
Okay. But, can we hear a little bit of the performance?
Sure.
Randy Dixon is the director of the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History at the University of Arkansas. He talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums earlier this month. There is more from their conversation, including clips of visits to Arkansas by Presidents Truman, Kennedy, Reagan, and Carter, in an audio extra at OzarksAtLarge.com.